Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Last week we talked, just a quick review, about the city of Antioch. And turn your Bibles for a second to Acts 11, verse 19. I want to read just one verse out of that to ring a bell for us to remember. Acts 11, verse 19. The point of the sermon was the fact that that Antioch was a pagan, Roman-controlled city that was transformed in anywhere between 12 and 15 years. It went from not one church, not one Christian, until they were scattered there, and it went from nothing to a sending center for missionaries in 12 years, 12 to 15 years. My question was, with all that we have today, the podcast, the worship, the CDs, the churches on every corner, what are we missing that caused them to further the gospel quicker? In a slower paced society where things, you know, to travel alone, sometimes from even Jerusalem to Antioch would take days. And then it says in Acts 11, verse 19, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. And then a short time later, it talks about how they started to preach to the Gentiles. One thing I wanted you to make note of, and I don't have it in here, we read it last week, it says that all fled except the apostles. The apostles stayed. So when it says they were scattered, it means that it was you and I, the regular people not running the church, were scattered, and they began to preach. So Antioch was started by those that were scattered who were not the leaders of the church. And enough was in them already that they saw transformation, to the point when Barnabas came, it said that Barnabas saw the grace of the Lord upon these people and was amazed. So he went and got Saul, or Paul, and said, we got to get you here to start teaching because something's happening. That's really awesome. I'm convinced as we go through the series coming up in 2 weeks that there is something that the Lord wants to teach us this year that will go deep within us, that will change us, and will change everywhere we go. How many would like to see that happen? And it's going to take something happening within us and something that we go after. So I'm going to kind of do a second part to that today. Some of this you've heard before, but I want to hone in on it. I am determined. I'm often finding myself saying, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to function like you, act like you. I want to respond like you. And I know I have a long way to go. Anybody else with me on that one? We are all works in progress. But thank goodness and thank God we sang a song called, it was about the blood. Oh, the wonderful, marvelous blood, because that's the only way, and the Holy Spirit. Whoo! So I want to start with an interesting story, because part of what I'm looking at is, I keep asking myself, what did it look like in the city of Antioch when a few Christians arrived? Can you imagine being one of those Christians? By the way, they did not have the New Testament. They didn't have that. They probably didn't even always have the Old Testament. But man, they had something that they went in with that changed a city. I've been alive for almost 52 years, and the city of Windsor is not a whole lot different than when I was born. Can you imagine changing a city in 12 years? Yesterday, I was working. Chris was working with me. We were doing a job at my rental unit. I was on the top of the, I have two units up and down. And we were working up top, painting. And I went downstairs, and my tenant downstairs is a beautiful man and his wife and his family. He's from Guatemala. She's from Mexico. So they came from the program where you came to work in the greenhouses. What's that called again? I just lost the temporary. And they met each other through that time here, which is really cool. I thought that they were both from the same area. So we just got talking. He has, you know, good but broken English. And I had to deliver something. So I went downstairs, and the house smelled of wonderful food. And so I just go to deliver the paper. And he's like, no, sit down. And you know that they are just trying to make a life because you can tell by the furniture. You could just, they're happy and they're happy to be here, but they're just making it. So I sit down and he gives it to me. It's supposed to be a quick thing because I'm upstairs. Chris is up there working still. I'm downstairs. He's like, come and eat. Come and eat. I'm like, okay. So he fills my plate with this delicious Mexican food. And we start talking broken English. And then his wife is sitting. And then his two daughters and his little baby. And it's just this beautiful moment of trying to converse. And he's like, do you want more? I'm like, should I tell Chris? Should I? I'm like, I don't want any more, but I got my friend. He's working with me. He's like, oh, come, have him come down. So he comes down, fills Chris's plate. They're like filling us with food and just a beautiful time. So we thank them. We go back up to work and I get a text later. He said, we're making more food. He said, we want you to come back down. Eat with us as a family. So Chris and I at 4 o'clock went back down. Like these are people, I know that's a sacrifice. Well, how do I know? Because while I'm eating, I realize these are the plates that we gave them. That was extra that we had, you know, that overflow that we confined ourselves with. And they're using our plates. I could notice a few other things that I've given them and smile on their face as they're giving us so much food because they're sharing their love and culture. And as we sat and talked with each other and heard their story, again, not all of them speak English. And I thought, I think this is what it looked like. It's like the Lord gave me a visual. It's not just about food, but it gave me a visual of people who are sometimes barely getting by, opening up their homes to share the love. And it's interesting, the tenant upstairs, as we got talking and he knew we had gone down, he says, yeah, there's something different about that man, isn't there? I said, yeah, there is. I know he's a believer. And what I realized in that moment is they sacrificed their time and finances and didn't do it begrudgingly. It was like this moment of honor to have us in their house and to share and the journey and how they met. And I thought, Lord, this is what it looked like back in the day when people sat together and ate together. We were in a bit of a rush because we wanted to go back upstairs. They were not in a rush. And actually at one point, I don't know if he was joking, but he said, we eat again at 8. I thought, oh my gosh, we cannot. We're not staying that long anyway. But I don't know if he was joking or not, because they just love to fellowship around food. And I walked away and I thought, Lord, that felt kind of holy in that moment. Simple and yet holy. And you, it felt like you were there. You know, because he could have been upset that we were moving things around and he could hear it all. And there was nothing. They were just like, hey, come on in and let's fellowship. What a beautiful moment, amen. Is that what it could look like for us? As we walk through this series, it'll kind of kick off and finish and continue. But I have a hunch the way of life and the way that Jesus walked and the way the early church walked is so much different from us. And I threw out this line the other day, and I really mean this, that when they said yes to Jesus, they were becoming potentially martyrs. And the more I researched, the more I realized the moment that they stepped into a baptismal tank was the moment that they said to their community, I have died. And now I live with Christ, even if you kill me. It was a public display of, I no longer worship these idols, I worship Jesus. I don't worship the emperor, I worship Jesus. It may cost me my life. It was not a decision in the moment of just, oh, that looks really cool, maybe I should get water baptized. No, it was, I may become a martyr for what I'm about to do. And I pondered that and I thought, Lord, we thankfully, we are not being hunted. There is no place right now in Canada where you may die for your faith. But then I realized the one thing that needs to die in our faith is our need for so much time for ourselves when there's a world that needs to be embraced. And I realize the thing that has to be martyred in my life is my time to create more of it so I can have space for people. Not people that I love already, people like my neighbor who, or my tenant who, he doesn't know me. He was not trying to get anything from me. He was simply blessing and honoring me. I thought, Lord, I want to be like this man because this man looks a little like you, maybe a lot like you. I want to learn to be like that. Amen. I want to read a few scriptures. Turn to Matthew, if you would. Actually, you could be turning to Matthew, but I do want to go to Romans 5:5 first. What I am convinced of is this. If you were to ask me what I'm learning right now, it's Romans 5:5. It says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out into us by Holy Spirit. So let's try that. We also looked at Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. And I said last week that when you look at all those things, the ingredients, that is what I need to do what they did in Antioch. I need the fruit of the Spirit. So what I am learning and convinced with is if we truly walk like Jesus, the only way is to be like Jesus, and Jesus poured out his Holy Spirit so we could be Jesus. And I think a lot of times we try to do it in our own earthly effort. We try to discipline. We try to come up with programs. We try to just throw it in here and there. And I am convinced what I am learning is Holy Spirit. And I love the fact that you come in. I love the fact that Holy Spirit gives us a prayer language. But what I'm realizing is Holy Spirit gives us the ability to actually be Jesus and walk like him. And without Holy Spirit doing that, we're always going to fall short. We'll always end up tired. We'll always end up disgruntled. We'll always end up abused. You name it, because it has to be a spiritual empowering. I can't love like Jesus unless Jesus is loving through me. And so I want you to begin to understand the Holy Spirit is not just about, like when we're worshiping, I love the feeling, but he is like, this is to empower you to go. It's not about a good service where you feel the tinglies and you feel, it's like, that's good, but what's the point of it? It's to go with it now. And so I'm like, Holy Spirit, wherever I am, would you fill me up so I can go and do what I'm called to do? Because I know in my own strength, I'm going to fall short. So in Matthew, where I was having you turn, we have this Sermon on the Mount. And we have Jesus beginning to basically on the Sermon on the Mount discuss what is it going to look like to follow this new way, this way of life? What is it going to look like to walk like Jesus? And he starts throwing out these things that are just making people, what? How can you say that? And one of those, we'll start at verse 21 just because it's good, but then we'll dive in at verse 23. It says, you have heard. He often would say that. Hey, you've heard. Matthew 5:21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, who is ever angry with his brother without a cause, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, or dumbhead, really, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Can we just stop there? And just take a second, maybe younger people, especially, of what you view on Instagram these days. Hello, Christians. I often watch the way that people are talking about each other today. And yet scripture, which we read and look at, clearly says if you say these things and call people dumbhead and you fool, how often have we ever said that? Man, what a fool. It says you're in danger of hellfire. Now, what he's trying to say there is that, listen, you guys consider murder bad, and it is. It's bad. But hey, if you're going to walk with me, I'm going to go deeper than this. I'm going to let you know that we don't even want, like, murder's way over here. We don't even want anger, and we don't want name-calling to be a part of you. Like, that's not how we're going to walk as believers in Jesus. That's a whole nother level, isn't it? Like, that takes things, whether we say it or think it, to a whole nother level. And yet, as I watch across the board, the ridicule, the name-calling, the self-righteous, arrogant things that people are saying, and I guess I got to start here and go, Lord, start here. Because that is not looking like you. Like, we're claiming to love you, claiming to come and worship, and then walk out the doors and treat people that way. So here's what I'm saying. I can't read this anymore and act like that, because the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, you want to walk like me? Some things got to change. Because these people that were scattered went into a city that was pagan and occultish and all that, and they didn't live like them. They lived like Jesus, and that living like Jesus flipped a city upside down in 12 years. And it wasn't because they got on a box and told everybody their sins. It was because they just started to live and got in touch with people and loved on people and kept their word and lived like Jesus. Let's continue. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and this is where I want to concentrate. I've preached on this before, but I always go back to it. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So he's now targeting, listen, you guys, you're all about, and by the way, that's okay, because I taught you in the Torah, I taught you to bring your gifts, and that's what this is all about. But I'm taking it a step further. It's great that you want to bring your gift. And again, I did another deep dive into this. I'm like, what would it look like when they brought their gift? And it was like, it was a chaotic scene. Thousands of people in the temple with their gifts, and you had to buy your gift or you brought your gift. And a lot of times it's animals. I won't go into detail, but you could imagine lots of people, fire, sacrifice, animals, blood. It's just this crazy thing. You're in line waiting, like, I got to get my gift to the altar. And Jesus goes, well, if you're in line and you remember an ought with a brother, you need to leave your gift and go make it right. It wasn't like you got your cell phone and went, oh, that's right. Hey, Joe, where are you right now? We need to talk. Can I give you a quick FaceTime? It was, where is Joe? There are 1,000 people in this courtyard. Here we go. And interesting enough, the very thing that they thought was the most important thing, which was to bring your gift to honor God, he's like, that's great. I know you want to bring your gift. But he's saying, this is the most important thing. Walking with me means you make sure you're right with your brother and sister and then come back and honor your gift. Because it doesn't mean anything as much to me if you give me your gift, but you hate 14 people around you. Like, this is a whole nother way of living. brother, I hope you're okay with it, Ryan, but I remember that one day worshiping. I never thought about that in this context, but I was with Ryan and I blew up actually at Ryan one day. I don't know if blowing up, but maybe you can. Yeah, yeah. We disagreed. I was angry. Probably about 2 or 3 weeks had gone by at least. And I'm worshiping. I never thought about the scripture, but I just know, I knew that I'm worshiping and yet I'm at odds with my brother. At least he should probably be at odds with me because I've left this thing hang. And Holy Spirit said, you need to go over there. And it took about a second. Bro, I'm sorry. That was wrong. I acted poorly. He's like, man, I forgive you. It's all right. Whew. Let's go worship. That's what it looks like. I'm not bragging on me. I'm thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing me that. Because probably other people, you're like, I'm waiting on you. Still waiting for that moment, brother. Rod, don't look at me that way. That's about getting our hearts right. Because if we love him, he's like, if you love me, you got to love everybody else that way too. So he makes this clear. This is important. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 10. It says, In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. I love that, practice righteousness. See, it's interesting. We are made righteous through Christ, but how many know that there is a practicing of that righteousness, right? Like I'm situationally holy and righteous in his eyes because of what we sang today, the blood. He did it. Thank you, Jesus. But he didn't do it so we could go back to living our life. He did it so we can practice righteousness now. And I don't know about you, but it takes a lifetime. It's an ongoing thing. Verse 11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And did he murder him because his works were evil and his brother righteous? Let me go. I want to back up for a second. Chapter 2 of 1 John. It all flows together if you want to read it, but I want to go back here. 1 John 2 verse 3 says, now by this we know that we know him. By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Have you ever thought about that? It says his commandments. What commandments? Well, let's keep reading. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. That's harsh, but this is what he's saying. He's a liar. And the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this, we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself as to walk just as he walked. Did you get all that? He's saying basically, listen, if you're going to say you know him, if you're going to say that you love him, you have to walk like him. And I'm convinced that we actually have done a disservice by having people say a quick prayer, high-fiving them and saying, welcome to the kingdom. But because you know, in the early church, they never did that. Never once did they ask somebody to say a prayer and say, hey, you made it. Now, confessing Jesus is the key. But it was confessing Jesus and walking with him for the rest of your days. And it was actually a discipling process that you went through. And in the early days, now they would baptize, and you could read through scripture, people got accepted the Lord and were baptized. But as the church was growing, they would often walk with people because they knew when they get to that tank, you are now saying your life is okay to be over. And when they went, see, I can't get into all this. We're going to get into it in the future because the Jewish people was different. But when you were a Gentile and you could be killed for turning away from emperor as the Lord, before you got to that tank, you better make sure you're okay to die. And nowadays we just, hey, you say this prayer, good, you're in the kingdom. I think we've done people a disservice. I want to teach people to go, I want to learn to go, how do I walk like him? And it says, by this we know we are in him. He who he says abides in him ought to himself also walk just as he walked. This does not mean perfect, or I'd be exempt. This means learning to walk like Jesus. He says, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. What are they talking about? Are they talking about Genesis here? Nope. They're talking about when Jesus showed up and he says, a new commandment I give you today. Love the Lord God with all your heart and love your neighbor as I have shown you to love people. Those are the new commandments that he gives. Did you know in those two commandments, everything we do can fall under that? Love God with all your heart, everything you have, all your soul, all your mind, everything, and love your neighbor, which is who? Everyone. Love them like I've shown you to love. And in John, he keeps going back to this new commandment. It's not a new commandment, it's an old commandment, but it's new in the sense that Jesus gave it. It's not Genesis, it's Jesus giving this commandment. Let's go from verse, where are we at? 8, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and you, because darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Verse 9, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Did you get it? He who says he's in the light, but hates, you're not in the light. You got something wrong here. Like, I hope this convicts us to go, Lord, I don't want to hate people. And I find myself agitated lately, and I'm like, Lord, this is borderlining on hate. I got to get my heart right. Lord, help me. And he's like, good, you asked, let's go. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. As I get ready to close, first one. Interesting, as Chris and I were working, Chris was changing out some wall plugs for me, and as he's working, replacing one plug, all of a sudden, phew, the whole house goes dark. Chris! No, I didn't do that. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? Like, replacing one plug, I've never seen it where the whole house trips. And we're trying to figure it out. Like, we're going through every breaker, and he replaces what he did, trying to figure it out. Every breaker, and the master switch, we're like, what is going on? We're in the dark. I'm tripping over things and trying to look with the light, my flashlight, and I'm confused, and what's going on? And finally, I called someone. I'm like, I'm getting worried. I can't leave this guy, and it's already getting late. Like, can't leave him in the dark. And as we troubleshooted, he said, well, did you check outside for the master breaker? I'm like, what master breaker? What are you talking about? So I went outside. I did not realize that both units had a master breaker outside and it had tripped. Yes, Sean's shaking his head. Yes. It was actually Michael who I called, and he's like, my kids know how to do this. I'm like, not helping Michael. But it was interesting, no matter, before we flipped that breaker, every breaker was not working because the master breaker was off. And I thought so often, tying this into our sermon, so often we're trying to work on these breakers. We're trying to make sure joy is in our life, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, each one. But I am realizing Romans 5 says the love of God is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the master breaker. If you don't have that Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter how many times we flip those breakers and nothing's working. But man, we flipped the one breaker outside and the whole house came back on. Because every breaker had power into it now. And I think so often in my life, I've been trying to love better, you know, through my, you know, just trying to gear it up and trying to not hate people. And I'm like, Lord, I am missing the fact the Holy Spirit is not there just so. It is for this purpose, to pray for people, to see miracles happen. It is there to empower us to live Jesus. So we can look like him and act like him and behave like him through the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus in spirit form. So we're missing it if we go, Lord, I love you, God. I'm going to come worship and I'm going to try to do this life on my own. I am saying more often, Holy Spirit, I desperately need you, because me is not really that great without you. But with you, I can do all things through Christ. I can have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, suffering. All the things we talked about, we can begin to walk in. The person, your coworker that drives you crazy, you can begin to say, Holy Spirit, I know you love me and you are in me. Holy Spirit, I need that fruit. I need kindness. I need gentleness because I want to love them so well. I don't feel like loving them right now, but I need to love them. Holy Spirit, would you fill me? And I am convinced that as Jesus began to show them this new way, you realize that people that were sitting on the Sermon on the Mount that began to hear these words, they are the ones that were scattered to Antioch and birthed the church that in 12 to 15 years would be sending people. 12 to 15 years, they took what we have so readily available. And I think they sat with it and they went, Holy Spirit, they didn't have this, by the way. John had not written this yet. They didn't have any book to go by. They just said, Holy Spirit, we heard Jesus say this. If I didn't hear Jesus say it because I wasn't there, I heard the apostles say it. And now I am here and I've said yes to you. I need you to fill me. Holy Spirit, would you fill me? And then they go about their work. And we get to do that. Last week, I proposed to you that we would choose this year, each of us, to say, Lord, I want to see somebody come into the kingdom of God through me. I said in that message that I sent out, this is my second close. I said it in that message, it is easy for us. I was originally going to say, let's see 100 people. And we could like, yes, 100 people. And then we're like, where are the evangelists? Let's see them go at this. No. What I'm saying is, what if each of us began to pray, Lord, who is that person in my life? Who is that one person? And as the Lord shows you that all year we begin to pray for that person, not as a project. You begin to say, Lord, you show me this person. I believe you want them in the kingdom. So I'm setting my sights to love on them. I'm setting my sights to pray for them. And I believe by the end of the year, they will come to know you. And I will disciple them. Church says amen. Loud roar. Why? Because we have to martyr our time. We have to die to self. We have to say, I have to make time in my day. I don't know what my tenant had planned yesterday. He could have had a whole slew of things he was planning. All I know is that they went as a family, let's have them over for dinner. And we ate together and broke bread. And I loved it. And I'm thinking to myself, surely I can do this, not just for the people I already love. I want to find somebody. I already know who my person is. And I'm like, this is the year. This is the year. I'm going to see them come into the kingdom. I'm going to love on them. I'm going to love like Jesus loved. And I'm just going to pray and pray and pray. And if it happens next year, so be it. But I'm going to continue to try. But I'm setting my sights on this year. And I believe by the end of the year, there will be stories in here that you're like, I took you up on that offer and look what happened. Can we believe that? If we can see Antioch, the city, transformed, surely we can get one person. Amen. Why don't you stand? Maybe you're in here and you're like, I think my breaker has been off for a long time. Maybe I've never even turned that breaker on. Listen, we would be happy to pray with you, but you can right now say, Holy Spirit, I invite you. And you could be honest. You could say, I don't understand any of this. Like, I'm just trying to figure out coming to church and making sure I get here on time. And the Lord knows all that, but the simple prayer is, Holy Spirit, would you fill me up? Because I am so aware I can't do this on my own. I am so aware that I fall short every time. So Holy Spirit, and maybe we can all do this right now. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come into my life in a fresh and new way. Holy Spirit, would you come in and begin to help me to have acts and motives and my personality to look like you. Holy Spirit, we confess right now, we cannot do this on our own. We are unable to walk like Jesus walked, but Holy Spirit, you in us, we can do it. So Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you fill us? I thank you that we live in a country where we can worship you, but Lord, we determine in 2026 not to take that for granted. We determine to let our worship flow out of this building and into every home that we come in contact with, every person that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.